Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome to Young Influentials, where we learn the what and why behind some of our favorite creators and industry execs. I'm your host, Colin Daniels, and today we have QCP, aka Gianluca. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm great. I'm happy to always happy to be in New York.
Welcome, welcome. I'm glad to have you here.
Appreciate it.
All right. So before we get started, I'm always just curious, what do you like listening to right now?
Oh, music-wise?
Yeah, music-wise.
Ooh. I'm sadly pretty like limited on my music during the day. I usually only listen to music at the gym, but I've been listening to a ton of this new Latina artist, Young Miko. She's like a rapper-ish. She has some new music with like Bad Bunny and just fire. Awesome voice, great music. That's been my kick for sure. Usually I don't have an answer, but right now that is an answer.
We stan. Yeah. I was going to say for me, you know, tortured poet Swifty over here. So
cool.
You know, as one does.
Yeah, for sure.
Alrighty, so before we get into all the cool stuff that you're up to now, like with cooking, who kind of inspired you growing up, like to get into it? Like, was it somebody in your family or
someone absolutely. On TV? My father's had restaurants for 25 plus years, so getting into it was not hard with somebody that's got restaurants. So that was the easy inspiration. I have somebody to help me with it. I have somebody to look up to, and to this day, he's proud and helps as much as he can to, you know, keep expanding my knowledge for the food. So it's pretty cool.
What was like your favorite dish growing up?
Oh, there's one. It's in my cookbook. It's called Rigatoni Butera. And it's like, it's kind of like a, almost like a pink sauce. There's cream, which is kind of a little against Italian, like authentic Italian tradition. But that's the reason why my book is a nice mix of the both of Italian American and authentic Italian dishes. But it's got like sausage and peas, and people think the peas is so weird. But it's great. It's like one of my favorites. I used to have it every single time. I'd have it as a kid, and I've probably had it hundreds and hundreds of times. So it was one that I kept getting over and over, but had to include it in the book. One of my favorite. I've made a couple of videos with it too.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It's delicious. Yeah.
But speaking of content, like what made you decide to start like creating content online? Like how did that happen?
I think I looked sort of in my life and I was like, I'm naturally just like inclined to try to entertain the room without trying. It's nice to make everybody feel good in the room, you know, make everything not as awkward. And so I kind of tried that into a more of a real life situation because I was like, you know, I'm making people laugh in middle school and then high school and then college. And then I was like, you know, I hope that there's, because doing YouTube content, like going from nothing into like long form YouTube videos is very difficult. And at the time that I started, there was no TikTok. There was just only TikTok. TikTok kind of came out, and that's what sparked me to be like, if this is going to be big, this will be big, because short form content doesn't exist anywhere else. There were no reels, there were no shorts, there were nothing from Vine. So it was this gap between Vine and then TikTok. There was nothing except for long form YouTube videos for the main source of content, which again, like I said, is very hard to compete. People are doing it super well, high production. It's just not easy to get started on there and grow. So I see that TikTok's becoming a thing. No one really knows about it. This was in like September, August-ish, 2019. It wasn't really popular yet. Towards COVID time that it started getting more popular. So at the time, there wasn't that many people on the app. So it was kind of easier to get started on there. And then I had one of my buddies. He's a photographer. He shot the cover of my cookbook and was one of my best friends and someone I met from college. And he was the one that told me to get on it. He's like, you're going to crush on there. Just kind of knowing me as a person. And I was super excited because I looked up to a lot of the short form content creators on Vine and I was like, this is the time to shine. Like I finally have something easy, pick up the phone, film whatever the hell I'm thinking of and just post it. And that's why it was nice to see growth immediately. I gained like 50,000 followers in the first like 2 or 3 days in 2019. So I was like, this is going to work. Like I got a nice foundation. From there, it just kind of kept growing. Then it wasn't for tons of videos that I made a cooking video. So I was never doing cooking content before I sort of like got a foundation for it. Then I started doing that and here we are. But that was in like closer towards end of 2019 and then 2020 and beyond. Beginning of 2020, I moved to LA and then I've been there since and been doing cooking content since, just trying to evolve.
And do you have like a favorite? Like, I feel like whenever you're talking to people, they're like, oh, like it's always harder to do short form because you're like trying to cram so much stuff. But I feel like now everybody's like, oh, we're getting back to the renaissance of like long form content where it's going to be like, yeah, we want to keep people's attention longer and it's a little bit harder.
I would love to. And the only reason why I'm not often is because of how well you have to produce it to be able to compete. And for the video to convert, YouTube is the most like aged platform. Like but it hasn't changed. So that's the cool thing about it is like your thumbnail needs to be perfect. People have the long form YouTube video creators have like, I think YouTube allows you just recently to like, it tests thumbnails for you. So you can upload like 4 different thumbnails and it'll keep cycling them in and out and see which one does the best and then keep that one up, which is like a crazy new feature and shows how important thumbnails are. So it's like, if you don't have a really solid team, it's very, very hard to do it. So shout out to anyone who does, like Emma Chamberlain, for an example. She does everything very low production, just herself. And that's a personality, like a really big personality. So for me, I kind of had the idea. I was like, I can use my personality and be able to like still do well without that crazy of a production. But I'm realizing now that I'm like, everything might as well just add everything up and make everything look as best as it can get. But I haven't found a good team for that yet. So I'm still happy with where I'm at with short form, keeping it going. And when the time comes, I would love to do some great long form content, but you got to treat it as professional as everyone else. And my peers that I see that are some of the best at long form for years, they're making it a lot harder for me to try to just go into it because I'm like, how am I going to compete with you guys? Like you guys are literally the best of the best. So it's good though to have that.
No, that's so true. Like the thumbnail thing, like just thinking back to it, like to 2014, 2016 YouTube, that thumbnail had to be like, that is so true. And then whenever we hear it, it creates me, I'm like, yeah, I had to like, we have to like do this. And like, if you're going to do it, this, the picture we take it, I'm just like, that is too much like thought for that one thing. And it's crazy, like having to do the cool hook with the title. Like, I'm like, can I just make a funny video? Like, I don't want to do all this.
Because the first 60 seconds of the video or whatever has to be just as engaging as a 60-second short form video. And the example of like, you got to really know what you're getting yourself into. And there's got to be a reason why you stay. And like, there's so many moments that people are ready to leave nowadays when they're watching content. So, you know, that's the battle, is keeping people around.
No, and I feel like the other creative thing is like also finding like other like creators to work with. I feel like that's also a hard thing. So how do you like, for instance, like find ones that you feel like, oh, this will be a fun video? Because I feel like
happen pretty naturally. It seems to like just fall into place. People seem to either follow you, comment, then you end up seeing their content, or you see it organically. It comes up on your feed because that's the type of content that you want to see in general. So it's usually like that there's somebody. But then there's plenty of examples of people that you don't know that are creators that you end up getting introduced to one way or another. One of your creator friends says like, oh my God, I just made a video with this person. Like you totally got to. That's been a big part of this, of collabing. And I've tried as much as I can to have a big influence on that. Like I like to, whenever I collab with people, I like to tell them like collab with these people or these people would love to collab with you. I don't even have to ask them. Like they would do it tomorrow. So it's a fun thing. It's really cool to see how many people love to work together. And then it's also really fun for people that are watching to see the creators clash. And like, you got creators from Japan and Italy and Germany and everywhere that are coming together. And because it's nice also to be in LA or New York, people are going to come visit from all around the world. And creators are always, when they're there, it's like, let's get some work done and let's show people that we're whatever. I mean, like it's cool. It's cool to be able to do it. And I've done, I don't even know how many clubs. I think I've done like 80. Like, I'm not even kidding.
No, like, I'm trying to think. Is his name Chef Max? That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, from Italy?
Yeah, he's ended up with the Paris Hilton ones, Fire. No, you've done some. Do you have any other, like, favorite ones that people you love to, like, working with?
There were some random ones that were really fun. I did one with Young Gravy a long time ago. And he's really famous for like talking about like moms and like hot moms and stuff. And like, it was really awkward, but like really funny. And I was like, I had to put my mom in the video because she was like living in my house in LA. And I was like, it was really funny. And then like we did a cameo with them. She's like, who's this? Like looks around the corner. And then I'm like, oh no. Like he's like, hey, baby. And I'm like, oh
my
shit.
Gosh.
So there's been some really funny ones. And I mean, the list goes on. They're all so unique. Everybody's content is so unique that combining together is always crazy. And there's a lot of really fun things that we've come really close to shooting with people and so forth. And I'm definitely trying to benefit celebrity. Like a lot of the, this makes complete sense. And business is business, that celebrities typically have products to promote. And I have a product to promote being just myself. I mean, in general, like as a business. And that's why a lot of times it's good to reach out as a creator to a celebrity, your favorite celebrities or whoever, to collab if they have something to promote. Because then you guys can collab, they can promote their tequila or their makeup line or whatever it is. If it meshes anywhat well with your content, it's great. Like, let's say I'm making a pasta and I shoot up some flames in the air with some tequila, like with their tequila. That's perfect. And that's something that I've seen a lot of creators, like my buddy Nick DiGiovanni, he's collabed with like, oh my God, recently, like Matthew McConaughey, Kate Upton, like just huge names. The Rock, I think he's working on that. And like Shaq and Tom Brady. And like the list just goes on and on and on. And he's like the prime example of that. Like, I am a good creator. And I mean, especially he's a very like PG creator. So that helps too. I'm not as much. So it's kind of like touchy for certain people. But that's a really smart thing. And is his team reaches out to everybody and they just say, hey, like, do you guys want to promote your product and make a video together? And they're like, why not? Because they reach out, they also say, we're only going to take 20 minutes of your time. Because they're, and same with me, Shania Twain, I made a video with her.
Oh my gosh.
And that was really cool. And it was that same situation where it was the other way around. Her team told me, like, it was at like 7 p.m. or something. They're like, we're going to get there at 7:15. She needs to be out by 7:40. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I made a dish with like two ingredients, which happened to be one that she liked. So I was like, luckily this was good. We knocked it out. The video was great. It was promoting like her new album. I mean, I don't know if she did content with like anyone else. It
yeah,
was
like,
so,
I feel like we never see her collab.
No, it was so random, but it was a great opportunity. And I was like, this is so cool, but mutually beneficial. You know, I kind of expanded to a new audience with her fans and then the same with me. And it's cool to do that. And that's the plan, you know, is to keep on helping each other out and keep making cool content out of it. It's pretty fun.
And I feel like those are the best collabs too. It's like whenever you see people, it's like, oh, they did a video together. It's like, that doesn't make sense. But then like after you see it together, you're like, wait, it does. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, that's so cool how they like, they're not even in the same realm.
100%.
Like,
and I've also noticed that a lot of the collabs that I've done has been their first time doing it with that celebrity or creator. I've been a lot of people's first collab and I'm so like seasoned as a collaborator that I'm able to like make it a really good experience for them and make it really fluid and make them want to do more, like whether it's with me or with other people, which I've been like happy to be able to pull off has been just like we've never had like nothing go wrong in a collab. So that's another thing. For some reason, it always ends up working out. Like we just filmed a video this morning at the Empire State Building for the third time. And all three times, we had no idea what we were going to do or how we were going to do it, like with a certain amount of time as well. The first time we made a pasta, and this is like, there's one outlet on the top of the Empire State Building. This is also like the observe. No, it's like not the where everyone usually goes. You mm-hmm. have to pay for like another ticket to go all the way to the 102nd floor. So we go up there and we set up a table and like just random last minute, we had to go like right as the store was closing and get like a portable stove and go pick up some pans some friends and get like all this stuff we needed. And then we like somehow pull it off. The video gets like 65 million views or something on YouTube. And then we're coming back for our second time and we're like, the hell are we going to do now? Like, we're going to have to just do it again, like the same way. But instead, like last minute, we got this portable pizza oven that we were able to make like a full pizza on the top. And that video got 90 million views. So it's like we were so worried and then it somehow worked out and did even better than the first one. And we just filmed the third one, which again, it was like the same format. We're like, we don't really know how else we're going to do it. But luckily, like who they get involved there too, like we have a different, it's been a different bellman every single time at the front. And today was about woman, and she was a really good actress, and we got to have, she was killing it. And it was like, it ended up working out. It always just, it ends up working out. And we're just really lucky to be working with, everyone seems to be very nice and generous and in this, in the content space. And everyone just, you know, wants the best for each other and wants the content to perform as great as it can. Cause like, you know, people obviously influenced 100, 200 million views on any product at all, whether it's going just to go visit the Empire State Building or, you know, whatever it is. Maybe a company is looking for a new office and they're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's put it in the Empire State Building. Like, who knows what kind of promo it does for a company, but it's definitely some food for thought for some creators, you know, is it's a business. It's totally a business. That's why you got to think like it is one, you know?
No, and it's always so true. Like, it's always the videos that you never think 100%. Or have the less thought that always like perform the best, where you're like, I don't know what we're doing. Like,
yeah.
And then it like skyrocket. People are like, oh, I discovered your video of like throwing that cat off the ledge and decided right. that I need to rescue. Would you like to do this collab? And it's like, wait, what? Like that thing? We'd even put that thought into that.
Exactly.
But all right, pop off.
It happens like that. A lot of the first collabs that I've done with people have been insane. Like they, weird things happen on accident that make them go viral that you don't even realize until you post it. Then you're like, oh my God, no way that happened. It's pretty cool. But that's the fun thing about, you know, pulling out a phone and starting to record and see where it goes. And then that's sort of how it led to where it is today. Just kind of experimenting, just like posting whatever.
And speaking of experimenting, I want to talk about the new book. How did it come about? Give us the backstory. Give us the genesis.
I mean, the coolest part about my new cookbook is definitely the fact that it's one of the only, it might be the only combination of authentic Italian dishes and Italian American dishes, because they're very clashing things. They're two completely different cultures within one culture. Like the New York Italian culture is so unique. I mean, not New York, Northeast in general, Philly, New York, and anywhere in the Northeast has a ton of Italians. But the generations have sort of changed the way that Italians cook and a way that the Italians speak. And that's why for me, I'm not from the Northeast. I'm from North Carolina, but my mom is from Brooklyn and my dad is from Italy. So I have, I feel like I'm more of an act, like of an Italian American than most Italian Americans, because not a lot of Italian Americans are first generation. So I've been going to Italy my whole life. Every year we'd go for a month growing up and stay where my father's from. He's from a small island off the coast of Naples, Italy, called Ischia. And we spent so much time there. And also just my mom being from the Northeast, that her mother also cooked a ton of Italian American food. So that's kind of where it was birthed, as I kind of felt like there needs to be somewhat of a clash there. Like we need to bring them together and have a little bit of acceptance, because a lot of the Italians hate the way that Italian American people cook. Like chicken fettuccine Alfredo is banned and like, not actually, but technically, like they, you know, and even like a New York pizza is completely different. And there's tons of things that people don't even know aren't actually Italian dishes at all. Like there's no chicken parmesan in Italy. There's no, the list kind of keeps going on. There's a ton of dishes that were invented in the Northeast that are kind of derivative, like of, they come from dishes that have been changed. So it's, that's the inspiration, is to bring them together. So there's 80 recipes. It's pretty much half and half authentic Italian dishes and Italian American dishes. I mean, every page has an indicator on the top corner, whether it's one or the other. And there's an Italian flag or an American flag. And every recipe also has a QR code of an original video of me that's not posted anywhere, of me kind of just talking about the recipe for like 20 seconds.
Oh, that's so fun.
So it's really fun. And I wanted to do something like that. So there's an original piece of content on every single recipe. So it coming to be was just kind of obviously the fact that I'm doing cooking content and the fact that I only make Italian dishes. Like typically it's like a 90% chance that I'm making an Italian dish in content. So that was pretty self-explanatory. And, you know, we've got tons of different things we want to work on too. I want to do my own pasta and whatever we can do, but it's a really cool book. The photos are amazing and the recipes, of course, and everything above and beyond. It turned out great. The cover is hilarious. It's me laying in spaghetti and meatballs and it's real. Nobody thinks it's real, because why would it look? It's 2024. Like they're like, why wouldn't you just do like an AI background? And I'm like, I wanted it to be real. And like, it's an awesome experience for sure.
Wait, yeah. Is cacio e pepe Italian or Italian American?
It's Italian. It's very Italian.
Okay, that's, I was like, yeah, woo! Yeah, yeah.
Cacio e pepe, that's what I made with Shania Twain. That was one of her favorite dishes. And that is totally a classic Roman dish. Like carbonara is very Roman. Cacio e pepe is Roman. But yeah, that one's good.
Okay, because I went somewhere and we went to an Italian, like in Queens, and we requested it. And the guy was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then we were
then
like,
then it must have been a more of an Italian American restaurant.
Yeah, we were
restaurant.
All like,
yeah,
wait,
yeah.
Are we in the odds? Like,
right. That's ironic because usually it's like the other way around. It's somebody going into an Italian restaurant and being like, can we have chicken parmesan with like spaghetti and meatballs? And then they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because like even spaghetti and meatballs is not Italian. Like Italians eat meatballs by themselves and then they eat, you know, spaghetti with tomato sauce separately. It's just, you don't, it's just such a funny thing. Like but it's normal. It's tradition. It's culture, and you know that's why like it's so hated, like the actual Italians. I'm like, okay, this shit tastes good, like let's just get over it tastes good. Someone was telling me recently that they took like their one of their friends to an Italian restaurant. It was the guys on Growing Up Italian podcast that I went on the other day, and he said he's like, he had him try, maybe it was like fettuccine alfredo or something, and he's like, come on, like it's good, right? Because it's a stick of butter, it's like parsley. And it's just simple seasonings that are obviously, like, of course it's going to taste good if it's at least prepared decently well. So that's kind of, I'd say, the main inspiration is just to unite the two sides into one book. And being an Italian-American myself, it makes sense.
No, because my ex is from Italy. And I remember I would bring up to them and be like, oh, I want to go to Olive Garden. They'd be like,
oh, yeah, they're like,
they'd be like,
are you serious?
They're
yeah.
from, like, they're from, yeah, I forgot, yeah. like, the southern region. And they'd be like, that's the most insulting thing you could ever yeah. me. And I'd yeah. be like, okay, but like bottomless soup and salad. Like,
yeah,
come
no.
on. I'm like,
it's so off limits. Like, it's unreal. Like, I went to the one in Times Square for a video. We went to there. I did a video with Jack's Dining Room. He does like food reviews. And we went there. And then we went to like a really nice Italian restaurant for like the contrast. And like, whew, oh my God. I mean, but because like you pick up the ravioli in Olive Garden and everything would just slip off of it and it would just be like naked by itself. And then you're like, okay, they're not even like tossing the sauce with the ravioli. I don't know. Who knows how they do it? Obviously, it's the only, like one of the only chain restaurants. Some and a lot of people, most people don't have access to a great Italian restaurant because there has to be the chance that the Italian in that town opens a restaurant, which is very difficult and not very profitable. And it's like, it's hard to have that in existence. So I used to like really roast people that go to Olive Garden. And then I'm kind of like, you know, you might live in a small town in Kentucky that there is nothing but an Olive Garden.
Or Iowa, you never know.
Or Iowa. Yeah. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, you know, there's plenty of choices. And even, of course, like growing up in from Charlotte, North Carolina, and like there's some options. And my father, luckily, is like the king of the options. Four amazing options. So I'm like very, very blessed to have that. And that's, you know, that was a step back. And I was like, I'm going to let people live and let people enjoy their breadsticks, their rock hard breadsticks. And yeah, of course. But unfortunately, the Times Square one is not affordable because that's another thing is like, of course, Olive Garden
Insane.
Is cheaper. Typically, the prices were the exact same at the fancy Italian restaurant and the Olive Garden. The dishes were like $25 at the Olive Garden. And we were like, this is nuts. But of course, maybe because it's Times Square. That was another funny part of it because, of course, it's like you guys are in there and then you go to this nice Italian restaurant. How much was the bill there? And we're like, no, the pastas were maybe $2 or $3 more at the fancy place. So that was pretty funny. But, you know, I'm not going to get so mad at everybody. I'll let you guys live.
Because I've got like that's the spot like we would always go to. Like, I mean, granted, like everywhere I lived, pretty much we had like a good Italian population, so I would know
yeah,
authentic
of course,
Italian.
Of course.
But like
I've heard this yeah, from people too. Like, but when like, I know that side of it, but I like
but,
this side
yeah,
of
it's
it.
Like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
it's like, oh, but the options and like the right. bottomless soup and salad, you know. So what if the like if the bread sticks a little like hard or
right,
whatnot?
Right,
you know,
right, right,
like
right.
it's the vibe, it's real quick.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You know, it's all good.
No, I get it. Trust me, I get it.
And speaking of like pasta and stuff, you did a cool like pasta tour. Was it last summer?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did a couple events, really fun, super fun crowd, like so diverse from like 7 years old. Like, no, there was a 4-year old making homemade pasta, then like an 80-year old making pasta, and everyone in between. Everyone's drinking. It got a little chaotic. Towards like hour three, I was like, okay, we need to wrap it here. Because like everyone's kind of just like, we're friends now. Like we've been talking to each other for 3 hours. And I'm like, I know, but like you guys are asking me some weird questions now. Like it was so fun though. Really good time. And I'm sure we'll be doing more in the future. But super fun. In New York and LA. We've done 2 in New York, 1 in LA. They went super well. And it was a really fun time. Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that we're starting to see a lot more like creators and also brands do, is like kind of bring that like IRL experience. Because it's like we see a lot of people be like, okay, I'm tired of just like seeing him cook this. Mm-hmm. And like I want to interact. And
yeah,
it's like also makes
it's really
it feel
about.
More like a community. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And even recently I did my first like cooking demo at USC in LA. And it was cool because there were like, I don't even know how many people were watching, maybe like 150, 200 people like just in the crowd and standing around. And it was a pretty cool experience. It was my first live cooking demo. I missed some steps too. I was making spaghetti and meatballs. And like, also I just like wanted to keep have people ask questions. And I was just like, they're like, we got 10, 15 more minutes. I'm like, okay, sorry. But it was really fun and same thing. But even there, like, I'm like, hey guys, like you hear, like, I don't have an accent. They're like, yeah, like what, you're really just being you up here right now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just being me, like authentically me. Cause like in the videos, I like to play it up and sound more New York. But that was a really cool experience. And again, it's another great thing to do is do something physical. And that's the same as like the cookbook. It's like you can actually put your hands on something and it's real. And same thing, how like there's some original content on there too. It's another cool thing. So yeah, it's definitely one thing to keep doing. Just keep working on products that are relevant to the videos and try to keep expanding.
And whenever you're like doing like the classes and stuff like that, are you working with brands also to like help supply the stuff?
A little bit.
I feel like that can also be kind of a struggle. Like, okay, like how do I?
Everything
like...
was pretty set up, but we still got some people involved. Like my buddy Nick, he has a salt company, and like they're like, yeah, we'll send you 100 jars of salt just to give away to everybody who gets a ticket and so forth. But who we were partnered with, it's a company called Evento. They're on top of their shit. Like they've got it down. So they already do events. So it was kind of a collaboration rather. So we didn't like start it from scratch. It would have been very difficult to start it from scratch. They already have their whole team of Italians that know exactly what they're doing. So then I just kind of come in and just step in and kind of make it our thing for the day. So that luckily we didn't have to do that much work in the back end of it. But yeah.
I love that. So like what's next after like beyond the cookbook? Like are you wanting to do like more in the future? Pasta, like what's kind of like your next goal?
Yeah, I mean, we're just taking whatever we can handle. Honestly, it seems that projects typically are like around 6 months at a time, and at least to have the most energy into it. So hopefully I'm really trying to get a pasta out there, to have my own pasta. I want it to be a little better than the ones that are in the stores that are like, you know, in accessible in Walmart and Target and so forth. I want them to be accessible and be a little better quality but it's really hard to mass produce pasta. You have to like, they have to make it, then they have to like quickly, like they put it in like a furnace and like blast it with heat. When homemade pasta, handmade pasta, you're supposed to like hang dry it and then let that dry for like 2 days. This is like, there's two ends of it, but I want to try to find a happy medium where it's better quality, but it's still accessible and it's not expensive. So that's what I'm working on next. We've got a couple like TV talk, you know, trying to do some stuff there, trying to host some things, trying to create more experiences in more of a traditional way, but still keep the short form content involved one way or another. Because, you know, as we keep doing it, we just keep getting better at capturing things. And we know kind of how you guys want to see it from your phone. You know, that's the most important part. So honestly, yeah, we're just going to keep rolling with what we're doing. And the opportunities kind of just, they fly towards you. You got to focus on the company. You got to focus on your content. You got to focus on what your product really is. And that's the most important part, is staying, you know, not, I don't feel any different than when I first started. Like I never, I've been in a good position of keeping, you know, away from any negativity and trying to just keep pushing through, you know, and keep making people smile. You know, there's a lot of people every day, TSA or anyone, they're always just like, I love your videos, man. Give me a little bump or something. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, it's cool to see that. That's the best part of it, is that impact. You're really impacting people's lives, making people laugh, making people smile. You know, I've had people tell me same thing, like airport, anywhere. Just like, I'll be having the worst day. I'll see one of your videos and like, phew, like it turns it around. Makes me hungry, makes me laugh, makes me smile. And then I'm just like, that's amazing. That'll fuel the fire for sure and keep it going. But yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like another thing that people don't bring up is also like burnout and like the creative, right? Like, yeah, I feel like a lot of people just think like,
yeah, no, they think it's
just a machine. Like he just, you know, wakes up and like pumps out five. But it's like sometimes you wake up, you don't feel like it, or you don't have the rest. So how do you like kind of like balance it, like rest and like kind of find the inspo and all that?
You know, a lot of times it just starts with being happy personally. It starts with whatever situation you've got going in life. That's kind of where it begins. I cannot create, because I create all my content on the fly. So it's like I mentioned earlier with the Empire State Building video, like I tried to think it through, but then I had a conversation with some creators yesterday that I was hanging out with, and we were talking about it, and they all agreed that we're like, the second we start like really thinking about what we're about to film, it turns out differently. If you're filming these like long form YouTube videos, like Mr. Beast and stuff, like that takes a lot of thought, whole teams of people. With the short form content, especially with like something as authentic and simple as cooking in your kitchen, you gotta feel really good, because I'm doing mostly comedy based videos. So it's like, I'm trying to give you this experience. If I'm not having a good day, I can't like pretend that I am. It just doesn't work like that. Like, yes, there are plenty of actors, but I'm not reading a script. So that's the difference, is if I was reading a script, I could do a couple takes and get it right, but I'm not. It's sporadic. How many different ways can I drink olive oil? You know what I mean? But I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to find where I can pull it out of, like pour it out of like an espresso cup, or like, I don't even know. It's always something. And the only way that that's possible is to be happy. So it's like, that's kind of where it starts, is how can I have a good day, you know? And that's the most important factor when it comes to that. I'm sure comedians in general agree, creatives and music and art and any form of art, any form of entertainment, creativity, anything, you have to feel really good. And of course, there's some places where people are really depressed and that ends up making really good art. But mine, I was really having a bad time in life. And like, I made a video that I was kind of just, it was like raining. And I was kind of just like, it's not a great day. Like, but I'm still here and I'm still, the video did not perform well at all. But like, I didn't really care. I don't know if I ever kept it up. I think I ended up deleting it, but it was real, you know? And then it was ironic. I think I like ended up like drinking a glass of wine in the last 10 seconds of the video. I was like, it's all good. Like, no problem. But it's not true. We're not machines. We are trying to just stay as authentic as possible. And that's definitely the most important part, is it doesn't run unless you're feeling really good.
You know? Yeah, because I feel like that's something a lot of people are like, oh, like, just like, you know, just keep going, create stuff. So it's like, bro, no, if I'm burnt out and like.
There are people that kind of like everything you put out, and like, but not everybody. Yeah. So a lot of times it happens that I'll edit a video. I'm like, oh, like, I don't know. This video just doesn't feel good. If I have a little smile on my face when I'm editing the video, I'm like, that's a good sign. You know, like this turned out well. It'll do. I feel good watching it. I'm putting myself, stepping back and being a consumer and watching the content myself. And because it's not like fully like, I, you know, every, it's entertainment. We're playing as much of a character as we can to make it as entertaining for the viewer. So it's like, when I'm watching it, it still feels like I'm watching someone else. Like, I don't really feel like I'm watching like myself, because I'm not just like, hey guys, I'm here cooking at the Empire State Building. It's just like, I want to cook up there. And like, blah, blah, blah. And like, it's obviously played up because we want it to be fun. And like, that's the whole point of entertaining, especially at this like 100 million view level content. It's got to be done really well. So if I'm watching the video as the, almost as a viewer, and I've got a little smirk on my face, I know it's going to go well. And then a lot of other times it goes the other way, where I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, some people might like it. And like, ah, I feel like it's forced. I'm saying like the F word way too many times, like forcing it. I'm like, what am I doing? Then I'm like, I guess I'll post it. And then I'm like, it's not doing well. And I'm like, what am I doing? A lot of times people be like, you deleted it? Don't delete your, I'm like, no, I don't care. I'm like, I know it was bad. Like, I got to get rid of it. But I always end up telling myself, like, you knew too that you didn't like it. Why even, you should try again the next day. Or don't. If you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. That's another problem. A lot of creators know and hear from everybody else, you got to be consistent. You got to be consistent. You got to keep posting. It's going to feed the algorithm what it wants to see. And no, because if you put out one video a week, that's really good. It's way better. If that video gets 5 million views because you put your heart and soul into it, it's so much better than posting like 10 videos and have it. I mean, 5 million views is a lot. And even if you had 10 videos that totaled to 5 million views, that's still great. But there's just, the results are always so much better when you feel really good about it. And it's good to take your time. If it's going to take you another day to edit, take another day to edit. You know, why rush it? Movies take a long time to come out. A lot of hit songs take a long time to come out. Of course, there's flukes, you know, where somebody makes a little video and it takes them 5 minutes and it goes viral. And the same as like a lot of musicians will be like, I made this in 30 minutes and I wrote it here and boom. But, you know, for the most part, it's not as much of a luck game, and it's something you got to really put your heart into for it to turn out as best as it can be.
Now, I wish I could be one of those like 5 minute words, like, oh yeah, just whip this out, guys. And I'm just like, how did this get 25 million?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What?
I used to do stuff like that where like I like would be working and then I'd like go run into the bathroom at my dad's restaurant and pull out my phone. I'm like, yo, this is for people with ADHD only. Like, you ever have to just like put on that game face when you're working at your job and just keep, you know, you're holding back all this energy. Then the second you get into the bathroom, it all like explodes out of you. You start like freaking out. And like, I'm just trying to, but like people were like, yes, like that's so relatable. Like I work in service and like, I got to put on my service face. And then the second that I get off work, I get in my car, I start, the emotions start blasting because I've been holding myself back for so long. But it's like things like that. And that's what's so fun and cool about TikTok is in short form content and being able to edit from your phone and stuff like that. The accessibility is what gives people the ability to whip this stuff up in 2 seconds and just like be a spaz on camera and people can relate. That's the funniest, like the best part. So that's what I used to do more, was more like relatable content and funny and just like sporadic. And then now it's a little more produced. But what isn't produced, at least, is what I'm doing and saying. It's more of like the location, the set and setting is the only thing that's like set up nowadays. It's just like, okay, let's do this in a cooler place. That's kind of another goal for me now, is to keep, I'm kind of tired of just making videos like just in my kitchen. I want to keep on changing the scene. You know, I want to like get a RV and go drive up and down the West Coast or across the country and stop in certain locations and pop up a stove, a portable stove, and just make some pasta in the middle of the wherever, like in front of the Grand Canyon, or like the like Niagara Falls, like anything. I'm just like, if it's possible, like, hell yeah, let's do it. And that's what keeps people around and ready to watch the video. If they see me start the video just like in my kitchen, like every other time, it's kind of like, I can tell, like people are just like, they just leave quicker. You know, they're not really, it's nice that, that's just a me thing though. I like to keep people like ready for whatever the hell happens, because then they'll stay watching. But oh my God, it's this guy who you never know what to expect. I'm going to watch it. It's the same thing. That's like, you know, Mr. Beast and those crazy creators that's what keeps you watching, is you don't know what's going to happen. You want to see the result and see what happens. And that's another thing, when you're changing the environment, has opened up a lot of like funny experiences, like crazy things could happen, you know, while you're in different places. The same thing's probably going to keep happening in the same place if you stay there. So that's another fun thing. And that's why, of course, like a video going up to the top of the Empire State Building and content like that is, and I was cooking in front of the Colosseum in Rome at an Airbnb. And like, I was like, I got to spend more on this to get this Airbnb specifically because I have the background of the Colosseum. Like, it's insane. Like that's why these videos have, but it also helps if I'm not feeling as good as a viral content out of my kitchen, which is a lot harder. If I'm not feeling that great, at least the setting is crazy. You know, at least it looks insane. Because when you're in that, when I'm in Italy or in New York or changing up the environment, it helps like me seem, I mean, not seem, but I feel better. Like, I do genuinely feel better changing up my environment. So I think that's another important thing for anyone listening that makes content, is try not to keep making it in the same spot every single time, just to keep people engaged. Yeah.
Dang, you saying that made me be like, dang, I got to shoot a video with Elmo on Sesame Street.
Yeah.
And be like, you know, be like, hey, Elmo, like, you got five minutes.
Yeah. I've been a big fan of, I don't know if you keep up with like Duolingo's social medias.
I love their social media.
We just had a meeting with them recently to try to hopefully do something together. And they're so good at just the most ridiculous content. And like, that's so important, is like, people don't know what to expect. And they're like, no way this company for language learning and like, and everything else they do is, they have their mascot like abducting people. And then it's just like, what? Like, this is ridiculous, but it's so funny. And like, they'll put them all, like, they have like a, they'll go, it's like the duo bird on ice. And they do a whole production of, it's just, it's really interesting. And it's just a good thing to note for people. It's like for their businesses and so forth. A lot of people, you'll see a video of like a small restaurant in like South America that does like the funniest promo for their restaurant, where like, something like someone gets like hit by a car in the beginning of the video, then they like transition it. You ever see those videos where people transition it crazy and they like land into their like shop, and then they're like, come get this at our shop. And then everyone's like, this is genius marketing. It's really fun just to get creative, and it's inspiring. Keep watching the people that are, find the videos that are doing great, and try your best to make your own version of it. And you know, it's the best way to get started, I guess.
No, that was going to be my last question. Being like, what advice do I have for those who are like, wanting to make content, and I'm already making it. I'm like, I gotta switch my location.
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, of course, it's kind of like, if it's working, don't change it. If you feel like it's not going the same as it was before, change it. Don't keep forcing the same thing over and over again. Evolving it is the most important part. And I mean, my videos every year look completely different. The editing gets better. The cameras are getting better. The settings are different. There's just a lot of things that go into it. But in general, I think, you know, if anyone's trying to start, because a lot of people do ask that question, how do I get started on, first, are you trying to do it? You know, it's, you kind of think about a few reasons. Like, first, do you have to? So if you have to, like, if it's a part of your job, I guess it goes for both ways. It ends up being your job if it ends up doing really well. But it's good to just look up to, study the creators that you are inspired by, study the people that are doing really well, and try to figure out why they're doing well. Check the comments, you know, see what goes into it. And then once you keep testing out and changing things, and that's where you experience it. That's where you adapt and evolve the content, is just like, and ask people, you know, and be like, please give me your honest opinion, or maybe reach out to some small creators and just be like, hey, I really look up to your work. Like, I'm curious, if you were to change, like, you'd be like, one thing and one thing only. You send your video and say, like, if you were to change a few things, what would you do? You never know. Some creators could get back to you. I probably would. Nobody's ever done that to me. So I would, and I love helping people. Like, I love giving some pointers and being like, you should do this, or like right there, maybe zoom in a little bit, because it feels like I'm losing you a little bit when you're too far away, or the audio is a little too low, or you might need a new microphone, especially because your voice is a big part of the content. And there's a ton of factors, so many different things that go into content that are really important. So that's another thing, is taking, if you want to kickstart, if you want to get ahead, you got to do it the best that you can at first. But if not, same thing, you experiment, you grow it. I went from, you know, no production at all to, I still use my phone and edit. I was editing on my phone for the last couple of years. So that's another cool thing for anybody who's starting. You can film on your iPhone. You don't have to go buy a camera. Like, start with the phone, start editing on the phone. But point being is that I still use my phone and I still edit myself, and not a lot of people edit themselves. But because I know what I like, at least, and I know what the people want to see. So it's very interesting. It's a lot of trial and error, a lot of experiment. Nobody blows up. Like, of course people do blow up overnight, but then they might just stop making content. They might lose inspiration, and you got to just keep on learning and keep watching what other people do. The platforms keep changing. There's a ton of information to take in. Like, it's endless. It really is. But it's about how much you dive into it. And I used to watch a ton of content to get inspiration, but it always ended up being that when I felt the best, I didn't have to try as hard. And that's another really important thing, is don't force it. Feel good. Be ready to entertain that day. If you want to be an entertainer, don't, like, you know, everybody's got a different experience, but that was mine, and it still is, and will forever be. I'm like, I can't force it. you know, I need sleep and exercise and good food, and then I'll be able to be fun. You know, it's just, it's pretty obvious stuff for the most part, but it's good to just experiment. I think that's the best thing to finish it, to give people advice, is keep experimenting and then keep looking for a reaction. And if you have really low follower count and your fans aren't really replying as much, shit, maybe comment on like a viral post and be like, I'm looking for some advice. You guys want to drop some comments? People are brutal on the internet.
They really are.
They'll be brutal. And if that's what you want to see, you'll get it. And if that's what you don't want to see, maybe it's not meant for you, you know? You know, maybe you're not cut out for it. But I mean, for me, like, I always try to make it so I'm like, I want there to be nothing to say negative. Like, that's like the goal. I want it to be as universally like likable as possible. So it ends up, so as many people as possible can like it. But that's kind of what I did. I'd see a comment and be like, you're way too loud. Like, shut up, or like this and that. Or if it's like put on a shirt, I'm like, no, which I am wearing a shirt right now. But it's funny. Like, it's good to listen to the viewers, you know, and just keep going from that. But again, people are meant for it and some people aren't.
No, but it's so funny you mentioned the comment thing, because I always like to, I was talking to somebody and they're like, do people know that negative comments still count as engagement? And so now I like,
is it that they don't
know that they are like,
oh, of course.
Yeah. And yeah. So like now when people are like we did a video and somebody was like, oh, the comments under there are like really nasty. And I was like, babe, that still counts as engagement. And
right.
Our views are
right.
Like, we're
exactly.
At 200K right now. Like, they can
hell
call
yeah.
me a T-Rex.
Exactly.
I don't care. Like, the video's doing well.
No, literally. That's it's like, none of that matters. Like, if anything, you feed into it as much as you can. And some people take it too far, but for the most part, it's fun to do that. And that's most of the time in the content you're seeing. People are baiting you to do that. They're baiting you to talk shit. Because it's like, I mean, I started my video today, like I always do something wrong, like, on purpose, because then it's just like, what? Like, what do you mean the Windy City? You're in New York. And like, that's the things we like to do, is like, that I'm like, I'm sick of New York pizza or something like that. And everyone's like, oh, you know, what? Like, getting pissed. And, yeah. Like, fuck this guy. So it's just, it's like, you gotta do that. You know, you gotta, that's, I love to squeeze in as much as I can in one piece of content to get people just like, did you catch that? Or why did he do that? So a lot of times it's the mistakes that you do on accident that make it go viral, you know, like, did you guys see that? Or like, whatever, you know, there's some funny stuff. It's like, I used to be making, when I used to make just like whatever, I was like on the toilet and then I saw a cockroach and it was like 12:30 in the morning. And I pulled out my phone and I filmed the whole experience and this got like a million likes in like 2019 and it was insane. And then I ended up like fighting the cockroach and like,
oh my gosh.
It was destroying it and like spraying it. And it was, but I was just, it was the commentary that was like just aggressive and like over the top. And then people were like, you didn't flush the toilet, man. And I was like, I was trying to kill the
roach.
Like,
I'm trying to save lives out here.
It was just like, there's so many people catch so many details. And like, it's just, it's, the internet is wild. It's so wild. But you got to have some thick skin for sure to be able to handle it.
Like, I'm dead. But thank you so much for being here
today.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Sharing all the wisdom. Where can we all find you?
Just, it's QCP, ITS QCP everywhere. And the cookbook should be available for pre-order if you're hearing it. Unless this is live.
No, no.
Okay. I'm like, then it comes out in like 8 hours. But if it's beyond, which it will be, it comes out April 30th, which is tomorrow for us right now. But it'll be out if you're hearing it. If you want to learn how to make all that Italian food.
Boom. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.